Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, MC back from another episode of MC Anime Podcast. Today we're back with Crystal, and further ado, please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mason. I am Crystal Colden. You'll find me on Twitter, Discord, Tumblr, pretty much most social medias where I can do my hybrid OC commissions and just post my fan fictions.
Okay. So yeah. Today we're going to talk about Digimon. It celebrates its 25th anniversary in the anime franchise. And we're going to do a little bit about it. And Crystal brought it up. So she's the idea generator for this episode.
Thank you. Despite what most people say about the franchise, it did not start as a quote-unquote Pokemon ripoff. It just got that title because it sounds so similar to Pokemon and even has an abbreviation of its name, Pokemon, Pocket Monsters, Digimon, Digital Monsters.
Well, a lot of times with monsters in Japanese, Mon is an actual prefix that means monster. And when you put Mon on top of it, it's the type of monster it is. So, Doraemon is a classic. It's even older than Digimon Pokemon, but it's one of the longer running anime series that has that mod feature. So Mon is a catch 22.
And yet, Pokemon or Digimon are being called ripoffs.
True. Mon is pretty common as a name in certain show titles and stuff like that. And Doraemon is a classic example of a long-running series before Digimon, before Pokemon.
Running for longer and even has some lost media because of that. But we're getting off topic.
But
funnily enough, the Digimon franchise started a year after the Pokemon trading card game started in 1997.
Yep.
But the anime, what we'll be focusing on, starts in 1999 with the original Digimon Digital Monsters. That's the English dub name, by the way.
Yeah, I was really fond of Digimon Digital Monsters. It was a good song title. And the show was actually pretty good season one. It picked up after season one because season one was a little slow. Season two is when everything started getting more effective. You know, we're not being introduced to the characters anymore and the plot lines of into the digiverse was established more.
Though I have an interesting fun fact for you regarding the dub. Digital Monsters is the dub name for the first four seasons of Digimon outside Japan, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Although that's not the case in Japan. It is Digimon Adventure is its own separate anime.
Yeah.
It has its sequel, Adventure 02, which would be season 2 for you. It's the third series, Tamers, which is in a separate universe, after that. And then Frontier, also not known if it's in the same universe, after that.
Yeah, it wasn't Tamers the ones that had new Digimon and had less to deal with? Or that's still Digimon 4 seasons?
Tamers, for the most part, is considered one of the better depictions of the Digimon formula that was used, especially by most people who like it.
What was that spinoff where they had, like, maybe two or three Digimon, and they had this entirely new guy? It was, like, red. The Digimon was red. And
That would probably have been Tamers.
Yeah, I did. I like Tamers. It was a lot different from the other ones. It was more self-contained, and they actually did a better way of plot line with that.
In fact, it's actually so well contained. According to my research, Tamers takes place in a separate universe where Adventure and O2 are TV shows in the Tamers universe.
Oh, okay. The TV shows.
It was a franchise in the Tamers universe before the Digimon came to life, essentially. Ironically, the show started on April 1st in Japan.
Huh.
Greatest April Fool's Day prank ever.
Why is that April Fool's prank?
It introduced me to Gilmon, and my life is better because of it.
Yeah. Sometimes your fan art has a lot of Gilmon in it.
That's easy to pick up.
I mean, it does. A lot of the digital art has Gilmon. It's like, oh, that's where that comes from.
I'll save that for later.
So with so that's pretty much Tamers. So the Adventure and Adventure 2, we actually had the main cast, and then those are the main cast to get also reintroduced in the reboots too.
The reboots, and before that, the six movies known as Try, which were six movies that were sequels to O2, taking place, if my memory is correct, 3 years after the ending of O2.
Yeah, wasn't season 4 when they like got people come back from season 1 and season 2 to do a different? I remember that one because I remember watching.
The fourth season didn't do that. The fourth season of the dub was Digimon Frontier in Japan, which was another spinoff and not in an established not established to be in the same universe, possibly in the same universe as Tamers, but no one can say for sure. It has not been confirmed.
But Frontier had re-imaging of other characters helping them out.
I will say yes, because Frontier did what you would argue was the biggest change to the franchise formula by making the kids turn into Digimon. They chose to do that in Tamers near the end, but then chose to do it all the way in Frontier.
Yeah.
And there are the Digimon names are references to previous Digimon, like Burning Greymon, Ancient Greymon, Technogarurumon, Magma Garurumon. I always mess up on that one.
Yeah, that's another thing they did. It was that every single Mon was a specific type of Mon. And Pokemon wasn't a Mon. It was just, oh, it's an Eevee. Or it's a Ralts. You know, it's a Lucario. They didn't do a Lucario Mon.
It's a Pikachu.
Exactly. So it just goes to show you that Mon was really taken off in Digimon more. And they kind of was like more of a theme.
That it was. And I like the fact that with the first four series, they did introduce the gimmicks. They did introduce some gimmicks. Adventure introduced the Digivolutions with the crest going up to mega level. O2 introduced armor Digivolutions and DNA Digivolutions, which means combined with a piece of armor or fuse.
And then wasn't Frontier fusion?
Frontier had Spirit Evolution, which was the human spirit, the champion form, Beast Spirit, which was the ultimate level, Fusion Spirit, which also could be ultimate level, but no one can say for sure.
Yeah.
Hyper Spirit or Unified Spirit Evolution for the Mega, and then Ancient Spirit Evolution for the Omnimon of the series.
Ah. So I was partly correct. There was also a fusion element.
Only two of the characters have access to the fusion evolution in Frontier.
Wasn't the main character
it's the two people
fusion?
Who have the either Greymon or Garurumon.
Oh.
Two of the main characters. The Goggle Boy and his rival.
Yeah.
I don't know if rivals the rest term for this.
I briefly remember Frontier, but I do remember Tamers a lot more. Frontier, I think I watched and finished it. I didn't really understand it as much. Like, it didn't have like a continuity that I understood.
One problem I had seen with Frontier, especially with a lot of people talking, is there's a lot more filler in it than it needs to be. It also is the shortest of the Digimon series, even
it's like
with the
25.
Other five. It's actually only 50 episodes.
Yeah, it's not
that was the minimum amount of episodes that Digimon series could have. It would run for 6 months in Japan and have at least 50-ish episodes. That was how they were. The original four are right there in the 50 category.
Yeah, that's why I started watching Digimon, because I watched some of it as a child, and then I re-watched it to watch it in its entirety. And one of the reasons why I watched it in its entirety was the simple fact that it had a lot of episodes. I like a lot of episodes to watch.
Digimon has the opposite. It has to get it has to be able to get not just one story, but possibly about 3 to 4 stories taken care of in about 50 episodes.
Yeah.
They only had 6 months.
True. So yeah, when I watched when I was watching Digimon, I was watching it, binge watching it. I wasn't keeping up like daily episodes, stuff like that. I mean, I think the classic character is Angelmon, but that just maybe
and
some
of course
personal
his
bias.
And of course his female counterpart Angelwoman. I have lost count of how much fan art I've seen. They redid Angelwoman's animation for the newest Digimon movie that came out earlier. Like I think it was last 2023.
Yeah.
They literally just redid Angelwoman's animation. They redid it entirely based off of how it was in Adventure in 02.
What was the dinosaur with the glasses? What was his name?
Dinosaur with the glasses.
He would like be a rapper or something like Elvis impersonation.
You mean it was not a dinosaur with glasses. I think you're talking about Elfmon.
It was a monkey.
Elfmon was a monkey. The dub was smart to give him an Elvis, make him impersonate Elvis. That was smart and funny.
Yeah, I do remember that. It was actually kind of cool. I liked him.
Why did he only have to appear once? Oh, I'm sorry.
He appeared a couple of times.
He appears in the arc alone, but then we get to see a Digivolution version of him, I think, within the same series.
Yeah. He came back, but he was in a couple episodes. And he was serving the big boss then.
He was a joke. He was a joke villain after the Devimon arc.
Yeah.
I can understand a joke villain is needed after you have your first villain be a demon and gets beaten by an angel.
But you know him as a joke villain. I don't think he was a joke because he was actually pretty good.
He
more of a compression than anything else.
That's a good thing. Better than the vampire that came afterwards. He drank real human blood in one scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not going further into that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Digimon also has taken to the card game too, but
they've done the card game. They've tried to become a card game multiple times. There are two Digimon card games that are still selling in Japan, and one of them is selling very well in America. I happen to have a good amount of those cards. The game is easy to understand once you understand the rules a bit better. I'm glad they made an app, because that made it easier.
True. They were somewhat successful, but I really like their franchise was really different set up. Because it fundamentally told the story, but also gave each highlight to the characters part of the team that were censored in that show.
Which is impressive. It really did
stretch out the plot and give it depth to the characters and actually made them feel like they have real life issues.
That's the one thing that people do admire about Digimon. The original series was not afraid to tackle topics of serious matter. Two of the main characters in the original Digimon Adventure came from divorced parents with split custody.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was Matt and TK, which TK being the younger member of the Adventure Squad meant that Matt was a bit overprotective because he doesn't get to see TK that often because their parents are divorced.
True, but that also part brought into their relationship of brother and brother, but also how they function, because one was an older brother, one was a younger brother.
Yes.
So that brotherly bond was also strengthened because they didn't have a lot of the father figure in the life.
Yes. You can also argue that happens with the main goggle boy of Adventure, Tai Chi, as with his sister, Kari.
Yeah. And there's an age gap, too. So
I'd have to double check. I know in 02, TK's is in middle school and Matt is in high school. I know that much. So the age gap is between schools.
Yeah, but the age gap also does play into a role as well. Because it's like at least 4 years difference.
Let's see.
4 or 5 years.
At least. Especially when in
like
the
10, like TJ, TK was like 10 or 12.
Tai Chi was like either 10 or 11 in the original Adventure. So TK would have to be younger than that.
Mm.
Trust me, these protagonists are young for what role they're supposed to be playing. We're putting the fate of not just one world, but possibly two worlds at stake, and we're putting it in the hands of elementary school kids. We're doomed.
I mean, you couldn't save your... You couldn't be that brave and be a kid to do that. I know that. Your imagination will go wild because you can't know what's going on.
I'm going to refrain from commenting, but you might have a point. and like you would be the same.
No, I'll be sane. Stop. I'll be able to adapt.
Well, I'll go get ready then.
Oh, the keyblade is going to come out. Oh, anyway,
I can't. But, anyways,
well, the overall, I like how all the different evolutions too, because you know. With the evolutions came the different forms, but also who came to be in that form, and then the sub-forms that were highly advanced later in the story. That
Digimon
played a key
role. I'd say Digimon have the ability to go up multiple rankings. They have the Digi-Egg. I'm going to mix these two up, so bear with me. In Training 2, which is the form that comes out of the egg, In Training 1, which is after it's grown for a little while, then it goes to Rookie, which is what most of the protagonist Digimon are like until they need to digivolve. Then they unlock Champion. Then after they unlock something special, they go to Ultimate, and select Digimon in the group, with some exceptions, can go to Mega. And then some can unlock the Ultra ability, the Ultra, which is apparently stronger than Mega. And Frontiers Digimon are classified as hybrids because they cannot be comfortably placed in one of those rankings.
Yeah.
Makes it even easier to try to understand the plot of Frontier when you don't even know what the true power level of the Digimon these kids are turning into are.
Frontier was so weird because I feel like Frontier should have been after Adventure 2, but we got Tamers first.
I feel like Tamers was the introduction to the concept because Tamers was the first one to have the kids turning into Digimon with the Biomerge evolution gimmick added, which allowed the Digimon to reach Mega by fusing with their Tamer. Yeah. Yes, I just said that. They literally do a combine. They literally do combine to create the Mega.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's the correct way to make the Mega and Tamers, because we see what happens if they try to do Mega the other way, and that doesn't
It takes a long time to do Mega in the original Adventure and Venture 2.
It took them to the third arc to get. It took them to the third arc to unlock Mega. And that was only two of them. And then Tri gives everybody a Mega.
True. So that's like the four TV shows.
That's the four. That's the four core ones that occurred. Then we get a 4-year hiatus because Frontier did not do well in Japan as well in America. So there was a 4-year time skip between it and the follow up, which was Digimon Savers or Data Squad in dub.
Yeah, I think somehow I remember a little bit about Savers.
Somehow it has less. Somehow it was the only one to not have 50 episodes. It had 48 episodes and was able to take care of a plot that was much more convoluted, was not in the same timeline, and had the characters be much older. Your main characters are 18 in comparison to the previous show where your main character was 10.
Yeah.
Guess they were trying to grow up with the. I guess they were trying to grow up with their audience.
Did you watch a lot of Sabers?
I'm going to confess, that was the one show that never caught my attention. Even if it had Agumon, Knowledge Evolutions, it just could not grab me as quickly. Although my friends keep telling me I should try it again and try the subbed version next time.
Yeah, that's probably what you should do.
Yeah, I probably will be doing that at some point when I find
time
to. Focus
what you can do. Don't just focus on what you can't do.
Good point.
Because in your eyes, you're going to say, I can't do it. And then you say, well, you can. Just do it.
I'll find some time. If I can binge watch all Frontier just because I wanted to look up Frontier, I can probably binge watch this show.
Maybe they get Sabers and start fighting with lightsabers. Who knows?
In 2006, we're allowed to do that.
I mean, Star Wars did it, so why can they do it?
Touche.
Need something to fight other than their little familiar that's a Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a sorcerer. Here, I'm a summon my familiar. Go battle for me.
Yep, although I do have some information for Data Squad. It was the first of the Digimon series to have more than one Japanese opening. The previous ones reused the same opening for all their episodes. Data Squad, despite having less, gets two openings and two endings.
What was Digimon Data Squad about? I know a little bit about Saber, but I never heard anything about Data Squad.
Digimon Savers essentially was them trying to take the concept of Men in Black and do it with Digimon. Add in some mysteries, add in a villain wanting to commit genocide in the digital world, and you've got Data Squad. Oh, add in a missing pairing because we need to add that too.
Oh.
So Saber,
then came Data Squad. Data Squad was Men in Black.
Data Squad was the dub name for Savers. It was not the first one to change names.
Okay. So Data Squad and Saber got the same thing.
Yes. Just like the next show also had a name change, but because I can't pronounce the Japanese name, I'm going to just use the dub name. Fusion.
Oh.
To absolutely no one's surprise, the gimmick introduced here is Digifusion, the ability to fuse Digimon together, and not like in Frontier. Though there are enough callbacks, and there are enough callbacks to the previous shows to make me question the continuity.
True. What was Fusion about if Data Squad was Men in Black / Sabers?
Fusion was kiddifying the series. Surprising they chose to do that next. But it was also the least rated one in Japan and was only able to get all 79 episodes because of toy sales.
Mm.
It was the first one to prioritize toy sales over a story.
So
and yet, that's And yet, that's the series that has a three-part crossover with the previous Digimon series. You get all the, you get the main protagonist, the main goggle-haired protagonist of the previous shows, along with their friends, appearing in Fusion near the finale because they're needed to defeat the ultimate villain. And the moment is awesome. They all get to go up to their strongest level and beat the snot out of them.
And who's the enemy in Fusion that has everyone else from other?
In order to accomplish this, they had to cross, but they had to travel. Well, one of the characters with their Digimon Clockmon had to travel across timelines and universes to get all of the original Digidestins in one place. Oh. And this was a three-part thing. They did not just want to do this over the course of one episode. No, we're going to do it in three.
Oh, okay.
And it premiered in 20, it premiered in like 24, it premiered very close to the 15th anniversary of the anime. So a lot of people see that as the 15th anniversary celebration over Adventure Tri, which was announced to be the 15th anniversary celebration.
Yeah. And if anyone doesn't know, Digidestin is pretty much the ones that are designated to go into the Digimon universe and actually change the aspect of Digimon space and time, kind of, sort of. They were chosen to be the ones to go in to make the change because at the time, they were prophesied to do so.
Even since the very beginning, it has been established that these kids were chosen by the digital world to have their own Digimon partner and be able to train that partner to be able to overcome the threats that loom in this world. Every single anime has that as the backbone. It's destiny.
We could be called Digimon as Isekai because they're going into the cyber universe.
I mean, did you want to add in the cyber? I mean, if you want to add in cyber universe, the 2000s were obsessed with cyber universe themed shows.
Plus, true, but was Digimon actually an Isekai?
Given the fact that the kids travel to a alternative universe made from digital data. Their companions are monsters also made from digital data. Unless circumstances allow it, do not have the ability to die. They just get turned back into a digi egg.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they can qualify as that. I mean, they do go to another world. There are times when they head back to their own world, but that's because the threats from the digital world are affecting their home.
True.
Has to happen at least once in each one of the series. Even Frontier was able to squeeze that in there.
What, the digital verse?
Squeeze in heading back to the human world. That was the goal in Frontier at first, but then they're like, oh, this world has a huge political issue that needs to be taken care of. Let's stop that before we go
home.
Well,
you know that most of Tamers was actually in the physical aspect of the world.
It took them 12 episodes to get to the digital world.
Okay, so it's not in the isekai genre, it's an isekai theme. Because the main genre is action, adventure, comedy, fantasy. But
I say that
theme
fits
of isekai. So. Anyway.
I say it fits into the category. I mean, all of them have of cyber connection to it. I mean, it's called Digimon.
It's a theme. It's an isekai theme. They travel to this digital universe, which is separate from the real world reality, but it also affected the real world reality. So really, it was kind of like one and the same.
That would describe the events of the reboot of the original Digimon Adventure, which was released in 2020. And yeah, that got affected by the pandemic. It still got to air all its episodes, and it did well. But the beginning did have that kind of feel, having it be something in the digital world is affecting the real life world, and they tried to explain it as well as try to explain how time works in the digital world when they don't need to do that.
Woo, because you can only see the time aspects when they go back to the real world.
I mean, if you'd like a comparison, and I know off the top of my head, the events of Frontier in the digital world took about 6 months to go through. When they get back to the human world, they had only lost 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The concept of time is almost non-existent in the digital world. It goes it'll go slower than in the human world. So they can be spending months there, and they only lose like a couple minutes in the human world, maximum.
Well, if you do 6 months divided by 10 minutes, you have approximately about...
Well, first, you got to take those 6 months, and...
if you do 10 divided months, by 6, you have basically 5 divided by 3.
Let's say
so you have...
Times
you
days,
three, yeah.
Times hours, times minutes.
Yeah, it's 5 over 3.
10...
It's 5 over 3, so it's about 1.66 minutes for every month.
Wow. That's actually pretty good math.
Well, 5 over 3, that's what it is, 1.66. Because when
that
you round it up...
That's for Frontier. We don't really get a confident amount of time that's lost for any of the other examples. That's just a rough estimate, and that's a rough estimate, and I'm not even sure if 6 months is the correct amount of time.
I mean, whatever. I'm not going to base it off of that, because that's what I heard as well. So. Yeah, but in the general scene of things... So after Fusion, what was the next show in the franchise?
Because Fusion was, again, the lowest rated, they prioritized doing the movies. Digimon Adventure Tri.
Okay.
Which was the next Digimon-themed thing to happen, which technically is a mixed bag if you want to talk about it. It was released as 6 movies, but when it's released on streaming services like Crunchyroll and all that good stuff, they got separated into episodes. 6 divided, yeah. Let's see. They divided them up into 4 episodes each for 6 movies. So they divided into 20, I think it was 24 or 26 episodes, if my memory is correct, depending on how long the movies were.
What?
Yeah, that confused me too. It made researching the Tri movies a lot more interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I know they had 6 movies, and I think the movies actually have a really better... They have a similar recap as the original Frontiers. Not Frontier, but Adventure and Adventure Second.
Because it has the same name of Adventure Tri, it takes place in the same universe as O2 and Adventure. Yeah. Having it be now the original Digidestined that we've seen, and we've seen in both Adventure and O2, are getting ready to graduate high school. But before they can graduate high school, they got one more digital disaster they got to prevent. A virus that corrupts Digimon and is causing havoc in the digital world and in the real world. Joy.
Yeah. This is not the Pokéwas.
Why does it take them all the way up to try to finally have it be a virus? Be one of the sources of the antagonistic force that needs to be taken care of. It takes them to Adventure Tri to finally have it be a virus.
Well, because a virus in the beginning wasn't established because they had all the other characters to flesh out the big bad guys that wanted to combine the digital verse into real reality. So really, that's more feasible than the virus. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you do your research, there's a virus type Digimon. You got data, vaccine, and then you got a virus type Digimon.
True. I mean, it's not like we have a digital verse like realms of other worlds where humans are hacked and glitching out. That's what the virus did, or?
The virus makes the Digimon more violent and aggressive. They kind of have no control over their actions when the virus takes over. We see this happen with one of the Digidestined kids, Digimon. It happens to Patamon, which forces them to have to reset the digital world because it was getting too out of hand. They had to do a hard reset of the digital world. I mean hard. To the point where the Digimon lose their memories. Yeah, okay. They pulled that plot point. Yeah, they pulled that idea out. Let's try this.
They pulled that out of the left lane of left field, put out the big hat. Instead of a rabbit, the lion coming out of the magician's hat.
I mean, it's trying to solve the issue, but I think you're handling it a bit too harshly there. Like, I get that that was the last optic. I think they were out of good ideas to fix the issue, or the ideas they had, they were not going to work, especially if one of their own was infected already. So they kind of had no choice.
True. If we reset you, what would we get?
You'd get me without knowing who I am.
Yeah, that's identity loss.
Common trope. It's a very common trope.
Yeah, it is.
Too common for my liking.
What is kind of like the recap after the movie's conclusion?
The memory loss thing is only the fourth movie. You have the first movie establishes your characters, gives us an introduction on the virus, what the kids have been up to. We get a fight near the end with Alphimon and Omnimon. It ends with that. Second movie is trying to figure out what to do. Some side plots. I honestly think they should have just made this a series if they wanted to have the festival and ship a character with a main character. I don't care. Yeah. Third episode is when we find out one of the Digimon is infected with the virus. We have to do the reset. The fourth movie's got the side effects of it. The fifth movie's got the major battle, which ends in the disappearance of the main character. Yeah. And the sixth movie wraps everything up.
Yeah. Interesting.
I would say the final form for the Digimon that's going to be causing all the havoc in the sixth movie, I have to be very careful looking up that Digimon because they don't hide it.
Maybe they don't hide it.
It's a large female humanoid Digimon, but she's not wearing anything.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that. I'm just going to move on. I'm afraid what they're going to do. I'm afraid with that Tamers reboot I'm hearing them talking about. I'm afraid what they're going to do with that.
Tamers reboot? Oh, come on. Why do they want to? I don't know. I feel like Tamers is pretty good. I think we'll just leave it alone.
Here's your thing. They've already rebooted Adventure, They've done O2 they've done O2 with the movie. They hyped up the idea of Tamers coming back, ended it on a cliffhanger. So Tamers should be next.
Yeah, I guess.
Unless they plan on doing a reboot of O2. If that's the case, then I gotta wait longer for my.
Why doesn't it be a reboot? Why can't it just be a new series?
That's what I've actually been wondering. We've been wanting a new series for a while. The last one ended last year. It ended in 2023, and it was Ghost Game, which had a different kind of storytelling than previous. It was an episode. It's the newest of the Digimon series. Essentially, it was their attempt to do a Monster of the Week scenario for Digimon. They had it run for 67 episodes, introduced an overarching story that would become important later on. And I have actually, I've researched it, and also have drawn the main protagonist Digimon, which is Gabimon, an adorable little an adorable little Tyrannosaurus Rex Digimon with little black wings. He's so cute.
Oh, I see. Yes. Why is it called Game? Was it called Game what?
It's called Ghost Game. I think the reason for the Ghost Game, Adam, is that in the beginning, they treat these Digimon like they're straight up ghost stories. Like, there is a horror element to the early stages of Ghost Game that puts Tamers to shame. Like, I did not think that they would try to do that kind of horror with the modern day, they would not try to do that kind of horror on a modern day budget on Digimon when it's aimed at kids in both Japan.
If it's a ghost game, maybe it's STP. Secure, contain, protect. Maybe it's that type of mystery.
The goal, let's say, one of the mysteries is another missing parent. I'm seeing that a lot in this franchise. Like, if the family doesn't have a major plot point in the series, they're going to be missing.
True.
But the fact that they have the Digimon being phantoms before they need to get enough energy to be able to manifest in the real world in order to cause some real havoc. Your main protagonist actually had to understand how to make his Digimon appear in the real world rather than being a phantom.
Interesting.
And I'll be the first to say, if you're going to have Gabimon, you need to make sure you got plenty of chocolate. He's got an addiction to chocolate.
Yeah. So, one of the first scenes that we see in the adventure, them being phantoms, foreshadowed all the way back in the Ghost Games, years later.
You can argue that. There also appear to be a few callback Digimon in Ghost Game that will appear. And also, Ghost Game was one of the few ones to take advantage of a branch Digivolution for Gabimon rather than having it just go to one champion. It could go to one champion, one episode. It could go to another champion, another episode. Oh, it uses the dark Digivolution over here. They actually branch out a bit. They branch out a bit more with how to do the evolutions, just like how most media outside the anime treat the digital world, saying a Digimon can go to this or this or this or this.
Okay, well, that's good.
An example for that is Unimon and a unicorn with wings on its back, I don't know why it's called that either, can be obtained from either a Patamon or a Teriumon, depending on the requirements in one of the video games that is available.
Oh, okay. So as we kind of wrapped it all up, what was your favorite animated project from Digimon?
Favorite one? I would have to say, I'm gonna say Tamers is probably my favorite one. Definitely does the best with the formula that it has and knew when to be serious when it needs to be. I'm dead serious. There's a lot of stuff in Tamers that.
Actually, Tamers wasn't bad. Mine was actually Adventure 2. Everything was fleshed out, and we got to see more Digimon, and it was actually more of a better story. It flowed better, continuity was seen good, the plot was actually delivered better, and it was more fleshed out.
I will respect that opinion. Does that mean that you'll be checking out the new Adventure 02 movie? I hear that one's dub might have been released.
Only other projects I might see of Digimon is probably the Tri movies, see all six, and then maybe Ghost Game. And I'll probably wrap it all up.
Then I can keep my title. I'll be the Digimon researcher between the two of us. Someone's gotta be.
I mean, hey, if it's not Pokemon, it ain't Yu-Gi-Oh, it's then Digimon.
What you talking about, my Pokemon?
Oh, well, it's not going to electric shock me.
Besides, if Pokemon's going to go downhill and... if Pokemon's going to go downhill in terms of quality for their games, I have to branch out and try. I have to branch out, don't I?
They haven't gone down. They've actually upgraded. There's so many more things now.
Have you played Scarlet or Violet, my friend? Because probably... It's got glitches galore.
Oh, well. The gameplay's still better because you get more Pokemon.
I paid to get both games.
But the ride Pokemon is good too. Sky, Land, Sea. Now you don't have to waste eight gems.
And they're cute.
But anyway, if we wrap this up, what do you want to say about Digimon as a whole 25 years has been airing? What do you want to tell the audience?
I would say for the people who would be interested in giving Digimon a watch after giving this a listen, be prepared. Don't go into it and thinking it's going to be like Pokemon. It's not. None of these seasons are like Pokemon in a way. It's its own separate thing. It just has a similar sounding name to Pokemon. It can stand. It has the ability to stand on its own and even be its own franchise with its own. With its own unique characters, plots, and setting. So I would recommend getting any Pokemon biases and send them out the window. Give it a try.
True. And in my perspective is this. With how Digimon operates, it has the theme of another world. It uses that theme very well.
Mm-hmm.
It portrays the Digimon as digital creatures in their realm. And when they were to scatter and become nothing more, they turn into digital fragments. So if you want something that is kind of on the lines of cyber and digital and everything combined, Digimon is it's for you for that mm-hmm. very reason. And it kind of makes the theme of digital as a means as, oh, this entire world that's is only accessible through the cyber aspect of things, but still very interlinked with the real world itself.
Yes. And as technology gets better, they'll probably continue upgrading the Digimon formula. I mean... In one of the mangas, I think they made a Digivice that looks like a cell phone.
Well, they had cell phone shows.
Yes, they did. But you have to keep in mind that most of these shows were made before cell phones became popular. And it took a while for them to actually make a cell phone like themed Digivice.
True. But yeah, if you like Digimon and want to know more about the 25 years, go watch it. Go read the manga. Go play the two TCGs that are out there. Do something in the video games. I don't know.
Become an expert in Digimon. And hey, if you want to, if anyone has questions, I'll make my Twitter DMs open for anyone to ask questions. You'll be able to find me at shapeshift16, uppercase the first S. Where I also have the ability to do commissions as well.
Maybe Crystal can make you a dream to be a digi destined come true with her all expansive knowledge and charisma. Or wants to be a digi destined wannabe. Either way.
You're going to need a pair of goggles.
Why does he need a pair of goggles?
Because that's what almost every single protagonist has as their main attire. Except for Data Squad and Ghost Game, everyone's walking goggles.
Well, I guess you're pretty close there with your glasses. These should be coming Digi Evolve as we speak. So... That wraps up this episode of the 25-year celebrate in Digimon. Please support Crystal at Shapeshift16 on Twitter. She'll be there answering whoever wants to answer her, if you so choose to. And give her a holler. Maybe she can give you a digital pet.
I do know how to make a, depending on the circumstances, I can make a mean Digimon.
True. All right, guys. Well, that's wraps up this episode. Thank you for being here. And thanks, Crystal. At all means, it was a treat to have and always will have.
You're very welcome.
All right, guys. See you later.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.